Radio Prague News. President Miloš Zeman has selected three more nominees for constitutional court judges to replace those whose term in office expires later this year. The Constitutional Court will hold a public hearing on church restitutions on May 29th, and the Czech economy is in record-long recession, having contracted for the sixth quarter in a row. President Miloš Zeman has selected three more nominees for constitutional court judges to replace those whose term in office expires later this year. They are Supreme Administrative Court Judge Kateřina Šimáčková, current Constitutional Court Judge Miloslav Výborný, who would be nominated for re-election, and Supreme Court Judge Ludvík David. Mr. Zeman met with all three candidates on Tuesday and will now propose their nominations to the Senate. The president appointed three new judges to the Constitutional Court in early May, and the 15-member body is now complete, but the mandates of seven more judges are due to expire this year. The Constitutional Court will hold a public hearing on church restitutions on May 29th. The court will debate a complaint against the church restitution law filed by the opposition Public Affairs. The legislation has also been attacked by the opposition Social Democrats and the Communist Party on the grounds that it is overly generous and gives churches more property than was actually confiscated by the communist regime after 1948. Under the law, Czech churches will get back 75 billion crowns worth of property and another 59 billion crowns in compensation for that which cannot be returned, to be paid out by the state over a period of 30 years. The Czech economy is in record-long recession, having contracted for the sixth quarter in a row, according to figures posted by the Czech Statistical Office on Wednesday. The economy shrank by 0.8% in the first quarter due to a fall in foreign demand, affecting mainly the car sector. Lower investment activity also led to a further drop in construction. According to the Czech Statistical Office, the year-on-year decline has deepened to 1.9%. The crown slumped to its weakest level since November 2011 on the news. Public readings from contemporary European literature are taking place in 18 Prague venues tonight. The popular literary event, now in its seventh year, is organized by the Network of Czech Cultural Centers in cooperation with European National Institutes for Culture. The aim is to provide a platform for contemporary European authors and to present new European literary voices in a creative way. Among the authors whose works will be presented this year at Prague galleries, coffee houses and theaters are Elena Ferrante from Italy and Hungary's Peter Esterházy. European Literature Night is held on the eve of the World Book Fair, which opens on May 16th in the Czech capital. Prague City Hall has taken steps to regulate busking in the city centre. A new regulation, which went into force on Wednesday, clearly stipulates which areas are off-limits and where busking is still allowed. The regulation does not apply to Charles Bridge, where special rules are in force. City Hall says the regulation was the result of a compromise between Prague residents and street artists. The new regulation also sets down a busker's ethical codex intended to limit noise pollution in residential areas and so forth. The League Against Cancer held its annual Flower Day in the Czech capital on Wednesday to help raise money for cancer research and raise public awareness of the need for prevention. The money raised is used to support the League's projects, which are focused on the prevention of tumor-related illnesses, improving the quality of life of cancer patients, and acquiring new technology for treatment and research departments. Finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be bright and sunny, with daytime highs reaching 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, a new report finds rise in the number of anti-Semitic comments on Czech internet. Then, after an unconvincing start at the World Hockey Championships, Czechs raise their game to secure a berth in the quarterfinals. And later, in Marketplace, we look at how a planned university reform will improve universities' cooperation with the industry. All that and more coming your way, so please stay with us. According to a report annually compiled by the Jewish community in Prague, the number of anti-Semitic statements made on Czech internet in 2012 increased threefold compared to the previous year. More direct actions targeting Jews, however, did not see a significant rise around the Czech Republic. Marsha Wolinski has the details.
Prague's Jewish community has been monitoring anti-Semitic sentiments in Czech society for the past two decades. The report for 2012, which came out this week, gave reason for slight concern, claiming that many more displays of anti-Semitism were registered on Czech internet sites. Whereas over the past 5 years, the number of anti-Semitic internet posts fluctuated between 17 and 30 per year, in 2012 the Jewish community found more than 80. One of the reasons highlighted in the report was the candidacy of Jan Fischer in the first direct presidential elections in this country. Considered a front-runner until the first round, Mr. Fischer was criticized for a number of personal and political faults, and although it rarely made into the official media, for his Jewish background as well. But most displays of anti-Semitism in the Czech language cyberspace are not part of the mainstream, said chairman of the Jewish community in Prague, Jan Munk.
It usually comes from people who are members of extremist movements. They appear in a virtual space that cannot be controlled. The internet also allows users to be registered abroad, and in most cases it is in the United States, where even these kinds of statements cannot be prosecuted.
The report also showed that even the far-right Workers' Party of Social Justice did not include anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli sentiments in their official statements or literature in 2012, even though their supporters are among the usual authors of internet comments on these topics. The Jewish community emphasized that actual abuse, whether inflicted on property or individuals, has stayed more or less the same as in previous years and is quite low.
I have to say that the situation in the Czech Republic is much better than in most European countries. There have been shootings in France, other attacks in England, Greece and Bulgaria. Here it mostly remains on the level of verbal attacks against Jews. Of course, I don't want to underestimate the hidden risks, but basically the report confirms that there is no real threat to the Jewish community in the Czech Republic.
Experts agree that in the past few years, extremist movements in the Czech Republic have not had the same level of popularity as in neighboring countries, and anti-Semitic rhetoric is not part of the public debate here. The Jewish community's report does underline the growing danger of extremists working alone, not as members of a group, which is supported by the report on extremism prepared annually by the Interior Ministry, which was reviewed by the Cabinet on Wednesday. Though even this report suggests that the number of criminal cases with extremist motivations investigated by the police in the past 2 years has not changed a great deal.
Marsha Wolinski with that report. Coming up next, on Tuesday, the Czech hockey team faced a key challenge at the Ice Hockey World Championship. Either defeat Norway or head home early. Aided by talented reinforcements from the NHL, the Czechs did the former. They won, and they did so with style, Jan Wellinger reports.
Before Tuesday, the Czech hockey team had largely struggled at this year's Worlds, even against minnows like Slovenia and Denmark. The points amassed in the first round almost weren't enough. On Tuesday, it all came down to a final group match the Czechs needed to win or face going home early. Thankfully, it was an altogether more fluid team that showed up, one buoyed by Montreal Canadiens forward Tomáš Plekanec, as well as starting goalie Ondřej Pavelec of the Winnipeg Jets, Marek Židlický and others. And it didn't take long for the Czechs to get on the scoreboard. On the evening, they clinched 7 unanswered goals, 3 in the first period alone. Former national team coach Josef Augusta had this to say about the match.
I had assumed we would beat Norway. Their team was built around their goaltender, and in the first period he stopped almost nothing. The Czech team also got a boost from Plekanec and Židlický, both showed their quality. Plekanec assisted on the 3 goals in the first period, and that had an impact on the overall direction of the match.
The lopsided win put the Czechs back in the driver's seat, and the team can put off any summer trips to the golf course for now. The question is, how will the squad tackle Switzerland, the only unbeaten team in the tournament so far? The Swiss won their first encounter with the Czech Republic decisively 5-2. But some, like former team coach Josef Augusta, are confident things will be different the second time around.
When we lost against the Swiss, it was the beginning of the tournament. It was only their 3rd game. Now they will be playing their 8th, and we have a completely different team. Pavelec is in goal, we have Židlický in defence. I'm optimistic, and I don't believe they can beat us twice in 10 days.
Understandably, no one on the team is cheering just yet. Forward Tomáš Plekanec, who was named player of the match on Tuesday, made clear it is important not to underestimate the opponent, nor to take lightly the task ahead.
Euphoria after defeating Norway 7-0 is uncalled for. We all know the upcoming match will be very tough. The Swiss have been enjoying the best tournament in their history. I saw how they played against the guys in the first match, and they've been playing really well. We know it'll be very tough.
The Czech team faces Switzerland on Thursday afternoon. The winner will face either the United States or Russia in the semis.
Jan Wellinger with an update from the Hockey World Championships. Let us know if you follow the tournament, and if you do, what team you root for. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Czech universities are set for the biggest change in years. After several failed attempts in the past, the Education Ministry is finalizing reform legislation that should help universities adapt to the changing environment. The reform seeks, among other things, to diversify the universities and change their financing. It should also improve cooperation between universities and industry. But how does the business sector see the ministry's efforts? In this edition of Marketplace, I discuss these issues with Jan Loda, a university relations coordinator at IBM Czech Republic.
The projects that we are sort of running with the universities, there are projects on many levels. We have university as a partner in research. We have graduates from the universities that are, I would say, future employees for IBM, for business partners, for customers. And lately we are developing with the universities also some concept where universities are partner in business as well. This is basically the concept of the competence centers that we have. These competency centers that are being developed at universities include different innovative areas. On one hand, it's built on the business potential that IBM sort of identifies. So in this way, we try to sort of secure long-term financial sustainability of the centers. On the other hand, these are the, I would say, areas that are interesting for the university themselves. So for example, I can take a competence center for smarter commerce that we have at University of Economics, where they have a very strong drive on the social networks or enterprise social networks or social business as a sort of technical term that is used nowadays. And with this center, what they are doing is they are working on real projects, which is something very important for the students on one side, because the students get a real practical experience. So at the end of the day, they end up as graduates with work experience. It is also important for the university side, because via the applied research, they can get a feedback from the real projects, how their research results are sort of adequate or applied in the real industry, in the real projects. And for IBM, of course, it is important because we are sort of developing new ways, new trends, like the social business. And this is something that's sort of new to the market. And it's only natural to have a university as a partner in the sort of development and promoting and cooperation for the future.
As far as I understand, the Czech branch, or the Prague-based branch of IBM, specializes, or its research department specializes on speech recognition programs. So do you also work with the Czech universities in this kind of core research?
Yes, we do. These research activities are done in the cooperation between IBM Research, which is Watson Lab division that sort of resides at IBM Czech Republic Prague, in cooperation with IBM Software Group. Because it's not only about voice recognition, it's about voice recognition in special solutions. So we have a solution for example, financial sector or for the industry of insurance companies where they can leverage these technologies in cooperation with our sort of software solutions. So this is something special where it is across the divisions and together with the University of, for example, of West Bohemia, where they have a very sort of strong group of language processing.
When you want to start cooperation, which may be a difficult question because you already are engaged in a number of programs, but for instance, a new problem or new issue appears within your own research, how do you go about finding a partner in the Czech university world?
It's a difficult one, actually, because it's always about people at the end of the day. So what we are trying is really to pinpoint the drivers or the, I would say, the champions at the universities that are open to collaboration with the industry. We try to pinpoint these either via the students, via the contacts we have with the university. Sometimes we try to leverage the platforms for industry cooperation that are available at the universities. And it's really about finding really a driver that would be that would have proactive approach to the cooperation, because you can't have one-way cooperation.
Do you find Czech universities ready for, you know, or welcoming even such cooperation from the business sphere or the industry sphere?
It's hard to have it as a sort of general answer, because back to what I said, it's about individual people. So you have to really find these people, and these people are at different universities. We have cooperation with Czech Technical University, with the University of Economics, with Bohemia University, with universities at Brno as well. So it's not about sort of the university. If I look at the university itself, usually on the high level, we have some memorandum of understanding on something of that would sort of give a framework of cooperation. But if we go to the detail, to the individual projects, then it's about, you know, finding the right people.
You already mentioned the issue of graduates, which is one way of how business or industry and universities can cooperate. Do you find enough good or quality, so to speak, quality graduates in the Czech Republic to match your staff needs?
If I look at the programs we have for the internship for the students, we definitely have a lot of very good students that are applying for the internship. So for IBM Czech Republic, there is enough skilled workforce in the IT labor market, but nevertheless you have to find them. You not only find them, but at the end of the day during the internships they have, for example, Soft Skills Academy, they have special certification, and you have to sort of train them on top of what they have as a sort of basic the knowledge that they bring from the university. And this is where I see that it is important that the university and industry cooperate, because we want to supplement the education with the practice, to bring students to the practice, to the real projects. We don't want to replace the sort of education that is done at the universities.
From what you just said, are you suggesting that Czech universities or Czech technical universities produce graduates that are not qualified enough to start working in a company, that you have to do something on top of what they receive at the universities?
From this point of view, I would say that We can confirm the results that was done on the research of University of Economics when they researched the graduates from the ICT industry and how they are prepared for the labor market, and they measured it in the way how many hours of additional training is needed. And from this point of view, there is still gap in the market, and especially at the bachelors that are sort of leaving for the labor market, they are not quite ready to be employed immediately.
The Czech Education Ministry is now working on education reform or university reform, which, among other things, should divide Czech universities into three groups, into the research-oriented institutions, into what they call academic institutions, and then sort of professional-oriented, which should produce these people with bachelor degrees. Do you consider the basic outlines of the reform helpful for what you're doing with Czech universities?
I think it's good, this sort of profilation of universities, this could help to get more, I would say, positive view from the industry on the bachelors. Because the bachelors so far are sort of, I would say, artificial product of Bolognese process, where we have 5 years study and it was sort of divided into 3 years of bachelor and 2 years of master studies. But this is not about dividing it into 3 years and 2 years. It's about developing practical skills for the bachelor. So when the bachelor leaves the university and enters the market, he has to be sort of employable. So there should definitely be more focus put on how to develop the practical skills of bachelors, and not only skills in a way of the skills of one expertise, but it should be across more disciplines. So it should be really a sort of skills from soft skills to technical skills, have some working experience, maybe discuss the possibility of having an internship as a sort of optional way how to obtain skills.
And is there anything else that you think the education reform will make easier in your efforts to try work together with Czech universities in research?
Well, I hope that in the area of sort of quality and accreditation, that there will be also a possibility for the future for the voice of industry to be heard in a way that at the end of the day, even the industry is sort of seeking the employability. It's not seeking to sort of push products into the curricula. So from this point of view, I would find it very welcoming if industry would be sort of involved in the accreditation process, at least as a institute that that will raise or can comment on the stuff that is oriented on the quality of the courses at the education.
I was talking there to Jan Loda from IBM Czech Republic. That edition of Marketplace was also the final part of our English language program here on Radio Prague. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz. You can also follow Radio Prague on Twitter and on Facebook. If you have any comments or questions, you can easily get in touch with us. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.